Shopify's already taken the cash register online, helping millions sell billions around the world. But did you know that Shopify can do the same thing at your retail store? Give your point of sale system a serious upgrade with Shopify. That's right, Shopify is the sound of selling everywhere. Online, in-store, on social media, and beyond. With Shopify, you get a powerhouse selling partner that effortlessly unites your in-person and online sales into one source of truth. Track every sale across your business in one place and know exactly what's in stock. With Shopify POS, you can accept credit cards, mobile payments, and every other major payment method, all with low fees and transparent pricing, starting on day one. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Do retail right with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/MLB podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/MLB podcast to take your retail business to the next level today. Shopify.com/MLB podcast.
It's the Bomber Brothers Podcast with Ryan and Sean Chichester.
Swung on and driven to deep left toward the line. She is gone. Aaron Judge lined one right down the line. Swung on and lined to right center field. It is a base hit. Grounding third. Scoring Kiner from left off. And the Yankees win the ball game with two in the bottom of the ninth.
Hit in the air to left center. It is high.
It is far. It is gone. It's a grand slam. Oh, a Stantonian home run.
Talking all things Yankees baseball.
Good morning, everybody. A happy morning for Yankee fans. Once again, we've gotten plenty of those so far this season. Sean and Ryan back for another episode of the Bomber Brothers Podcast, brought to you by WFAN and Odyssey. A reminder to make sure you rate, review, and subscribe if you want to hear new episodes after every series. And they're usually a series win. The Yankees are 18-2-2 now in series so far this season. And number 18 came last night when they sealed another series win against another division rival in dramatic fashion once again. And Sean, it was kind of a recipe that the Yankees have taken advantage of for a lot of this season. They got the expected contributions with two home runs from Judge. They got a big-time contribution from one of their surprises in Jose Trevino, and then the back of the bullpen shut it down with King and Holmes looking dominant. And after trailing 3-0 and looking like maybe the Yankees were headed for a series loss and what would have been their third loss in four games, instead they're walking out with a series win against Tampa and holding a 12-game lead in the division heading into a massive series against the Astros.
I mean, an amazing road trip where you go to your two best division rivals and on their turf, take a total of four games out of six, you know, two series wins to knock them both back in the standings from where they were when they embarked on this road trip. And it gets, you know, the Toronto series was a good series, but it left a sour taste in your mouth. And then this series is the exact opposite, where you come out of it feeling really good about another comeback win. I saw Katie Sharp tweeted the Yankees are now 20-18 in games that they trail at any point. Which is insane that they have a winning record in games that they're at one point or another losing, and they have tied for the most comeback wins this year. So just, you know, a really great game to cap it off. And, you know, the series gets started. And I know we had talked about this last episode. We said it was, you know, I was really looking for Cole to set a tone. You know, the Yankees have had so much trouble at the Trop. You know, we kind of felt like they did a good job by coming away with a split last series. But after the terrible loss, and I mean, terrible is relative when you're having this good of a year, but after the tough loss to end the Toronto series, Cole came out and had a no hitter going into the eighth inning. So just an amazing job by him to come out and set the tone right away. And also just in a, you know, they Rizzo with a big home run right in the first inning to kind of set the tone for that. So that was an awesome game and an awesome way to get started. And just kudos to Cole, because that was a big boy pitching performance. I know that, you know, the bullpen did falter a bit. But it was kind of fun. Like, right, the infield single that Holmes gave up, a ball that kind of just squeaks down the line. But overall a really fun game to start the series as well.
Yeah, like you mentioned, Cole was dominant. That's his, I think it's, what, sixth straight start in Tampa with 10 or more strikeouts, I think was the number. He's been absolutely dominant down there at the Trop, which is huge for the Yankees because up until this year, that's a place where they had widely struggled, and he carried a no-hitter into the eighth inning. I mean, that's the second time this season that he's flirted with a no-hitter, perfect game, coming close into a towards the eighth inning. So I think it was Boone who said he's going to get it one day. And I think he's certainly showing that he eventually will. But yeah, I mean, it really seemed like Monday night was going to be the night. And I think what was huge about Monday is, like you said, you're coming off that tough loss, and with how good everyone's been feeling about the Yankees, I feel like there's also a corner of the fan base that might, in a way, be waiting for another shoe to drop and for things to go south, because the Yankees have been so streaky in recent years. So you come off that tough loss, then you have a 2-0 eighth inning lead, and all of a sudden it's a tie game. But the Yankees battle right back, and Aaron Hicks being among the heroes of that game. He's struggled a lot this season, but he goes 2-for-4. He hits that big triple. So, and then the Yankees scored 2 runs in the ninth to turn that into a 4-2 win. So, I mean, coming off of the loss that they had against the Blue Jays when the bullpen really started to melt down uncharacteristically, then you have a situation where Holmes' shutout streak ends on, like you said, it was like a soft dribbler up the line. Sometimes that's going to happen. That's baseball. You get good luck and bad luck. So, really, no fault on Holmes there. But then the Yankee offense immediately picks them up. And that's kind of what the Yankees have been doing all year. When the bats aren't going, the pitching staff and the bullpen has been picking the team up. And if the pitching staff uncharacteristically falters, the bats are there, in this case, immediately after, to pick them right back up and get a big win.
And like just the contributions from places you don't most expect it happen to, which is what really separates, I think, a great team from a good team. Like, you know, we've been on Hicks all year, and he's come alive a little bit here in June, and has a monster hit. I mean, that is, you know, as big a hit as the Yankees have had all year, in my opinion. That, you know, it's not a must-win game or anything, but it's a game that you feel like you'd really like to not give away, and a tie game going into extras in Tampa, I feel like we've seen that story end pretty negatively. Tie game going into the ninth in Tampa, we've seen that end pretty negatively in the past, but Hicks comes up with the huge hit, gets it done, and just, you know, awesome job. And then, you know, Trevino, I think, followed it up with a sac fly, yep, to extend the lead to 2, which wound up feeling big because the way the game ended with the pop up and you know, Hicks there, and you could see Hicks is calling for it, but I had a mini heart attack as that ball was descending through the catwalks and those rings up there at that joke of a ballpark. I like that Susan, I was listening to the radio for, I think it was game 2, just called the place a travesty or something, that she understands that place is a joke too. But yeah, I mean, it was, you know, the Yankees, like when you have Hicks and Trevino driving in 2 runs in the ninth inning in a big division game, like, you know, you're getting something, especially you know, you had Rizzo hit the home run early. They score another run on an error, which they did again last night too. So Yankees taking advantage of shoddy defense from Tampa, which is huge. And that reminds me a little bit of the 98 team where they would always take advantage. You had to make every play to beat the Yankees. And if you give them an opening this year, they're really there. And, you know, you look at the second game, they're down, you know, 5-2, and you're kind of feeling like, well, this game's over. And then in the ninth, they come within 5 feet of tying the game. It's team just doesn't go away.
Yeah. I think that was huge to see too. They made a game out of it. They came a few feet of tying the game and potentially forcing extra innings. If Judge, who came off the bench and pinch hit in the ninth inning with 2 outs, I mean, if he gets just a little more barrel on that ball, that's a game tying home run. He flew out right to the wall in left field, and the Yankees almost bailed out once again ineffective Nestor Cortez. I think in what was a really promising series win. I think the only concern that I personally would have coming out of this series is that we might be seeing a slight Nestor Cortez regression. I mean, he allowed, what, 3 home runs in that start. He's now allowed 5 home runs in his last 3 starts. I mean, he's also allowed 16 hits in his last 14 innings. He has a FIP of 7 in that time. And in his first 10 starts, his FIP was under 2.5. So I think, and also we should also note that I feel like most fans knew this was going to happen in some capacity. Cortez was not going to always be holding a 1.5 ERA over the course of a full season. He's been an amazing story. He's still very good. And I also think it's totally fine if he is more of a mid, you know, it keeps an ERA in the mid to high 2s. Like, that's still absolutely stellar for a former 36 round pick and former outcast. So I think that should be kept in perspective, but it's also kind of a bummer to see that Cortez might be coming back down to earth a little bit, at least over his last 3 starts.
Well, I mean, I think, you know, there's always a regression to some sort of mean, and we don't know where the mean is until the season's over, right? But, you know, I think there's a couple factors at play here, and one of those is that the, you know, Tampa Bay has seen him 3 times in the last month, which is going to eventually favor the hitters. They're playing in Tampa's ballpark. He pitched really well against the Rays in Yankee Stadium just a week ago. The other game he had that was bad was against the Twins, and pretty much all the Yankees pitched bad that series. That was just – so I think there's something to be said about workload management and all of that, but and also regression. So I'm not overly concerned. I think if you see another couple starts here that look similar to this, you would get worried. But, you know, Nestor's a guy that really relies on command. And, you know, we see it with guys like this, where if they don't have it, it's not as easy for them to overpower guys. So they kind of put up these clunkers. But, you know, I also think when you rely on deception, you rely on, you know, all these kind of tricks and things that make Nestor fun, the more times you see that as an offense, the easier it's going to be for you. So I'm interested to see how he does his next time out. I think he'll be facing Houston in the last game of the series, if I'm correct.
I think so. Right, yeah.
On Sunday. So that'll be let's see how he does against a Houston offense that hasn't seen him, but is a really good offense, you know, playing at home. That would be really, really interesting. And coming off a lower pitch count. So hopefully he's got some rest under him and we're ready to go here. But yeah, that would be the one negative I would take away from this series. But also in the same game, the Yankees come back and you know, try to make it a game that, you know, I know Schmidt gives up the run, but you get 2 innings from Marinaccio, 1 inning from Lidke to keep it close. So, you know, the Yankees tried to pick him up. They just came a couple feet short and, you know, we'll go from there. But I would wait a little bit before getting worried about Cortez. I think it's definitely, you know, you're like, but I'm just kind of like, let's see what the next start looks like. I'm not panicking yet on Nasty Nestor. Still excited to get the Nasty Nestor t-shirt.
Oh yeah. That is Friday night. Yeah, no, that's certainly sensical, I would say. And, you know, it sucks to see him struggling with the long ball so much, but even with the Harold Ramirez home run, that was a pretty good pitch. It was just a cutter that was inside. It was off the plate. It was right on the hands. I think, you know, which could be a point to what you're saying, is that the Rays have just seen him so much that Ramirez was just sitting on it to the point where he could just get his hands in and pull that out of the park. I mean, you're only hitting a cutter that inside for a home run if you're sitting on it, which could be the fact that the Rays have seen him so frequently recently, or just the fact that Cortez is now an established starter in the league and people are getting onto his tendencies and realizing that he throws that cutter, but 45% of the time, I think is the figure somewhere around there. So you can sit on it sometimes, but yeah, I'm certainly by no means saying that this is the end of the feel good Cortez story. Again, if Cortez pitches to it, ERA close to, you know, Montgomery's right now in the high 2s. That's still a phenomenal season. One of the best stories in baseball, and he's still an all-star. So I'm not expecting him to continue to put up, you know, this Shane McClanahan type 1.5, 1.6 ERA, but I still think Cortez is going to be really, really good. And hopefully after, like you said, hopefully getting back home against a team that hasn't really seen him too extensively yet, he'll get back on track and turn in a good start.
Yeah, and I think, you know, there's something to be said too for how many games the Yankees have played. The Yankees haven't had the opportunities really to give their rotation that extra day of rest in June. But in July, I think they have almost every Monday off in the entire month of July.
Yeah, including 4th of July, which is so weird.
That stinks. But yeah, so I think they'll get a little more rest baked in, period. And, you know, it could be like, look, Paredes, he didn't just do damage against Nestor. He did damage yesterday too. And, you know, Ramirez had a good, he might just be running into a couple hot hitters here. And, that like we said, are picking up on their tendencies. And if you're like a hair off with your control, when you rely on control more than anything and deception, then you're going to get hit. So let's see, you know, as he rolls through maybe a couple different teams here that he hasn't seen as many times, if he the Yankees won't see the Rays again for a while. So, you know, we'll see what it looks like down the road. And, you know, I know Yankee fans, I know at least one of them texted me like, what the F is going on yesterday after Montgomery had given up 3 runs there in the second inning. But I mean, this is just going to happen. Like, right. Like not every Yankee is going to pitch to a 2.0 or lower ERA. They're going to have tough starts, but you know, like Nestor couldn't really give them the length in game 2, but Montgomery did a great job, I thought, of settling down and getting through 6 innings, giving up 4 runs, which, you know, I know you say, oh, six, you know, four runs in 6 innings and 9 hits. That doesn't sound like a great start, but I thought it was really big considering how much, you know, what had happened the night before with Nestor. He really held the Yankees in the game, and he leaves there and they're only down, what was it? 4-2 when he exits the game. So he really helped keep it close. And, you know, the Yankees, I think that really helped pick them up and allow them to get back in the game there.
Oh yeah, that was huge by Montgomery. I mean, we've seen, I don't know why this just popped in my head, but maybe because Houston's coming to town again. But you think about something like the game 5 of the 2019 ALCS when we were there, and you realize the importance of jumping on a pitcher early before they settle into a game. I mean, the Yankees get to Verlander in that game, and they don't have a shred of offense the rest of the game, but because they jumped on him and took advantage when he was at his most ineffective before he settled down, that decided the game. So Montgomery clearly didn't have it early, but he settled in nice. I think the fact that he even gave them 6 innings was pretty remarkable. So yeah, a great job by Montgomery. That's the epitome of grinding through 6 innings and helping to save the bullpen a little bit when you're not at your best. So definitely huge props to Montgomery. And before we move on to the series finale, I also wanted to give a shout out to Marwin Gonzalez. He had that big home run in the 9th inning in game 2. I think it was John Boy. I can't remember who tweeted it, but someone tweeted how when Marwin has at least 3 plate appearances in a game, he's posting a OPS plus of somewhere around like 110 or 115. So he's actually been really good when called upon to fill in for a start. And we know about his defensive versatility. So just wanted to give a shout out to Marwin, because he's been huge as a guy off the bench and a utility player. I mean, can't ask for much more from a guy who knows he's not going to play every day. And it's probably hard to stay fresh when you're not getting regular at bats, but in any game that he does get multiple at bats, he seems to contribute in some way.
Yeah, no, he's been he's another one of those guys. You know, we said Hicks, Trevino, which I know we're going to probably get to in a minute here, but Marwin's been awesome. He's you know, made some good plays in the outfield and caught some big hits. I mean, you know, he played, got some big hits in the Toronto series, so he's been awesome. And you know, it's crazy, I saw after they lost, you know, Yankee fans freaked out to lose their 18th game of the year when they've already won 50. Yeah. 12 of the 18 losses are by 1 or 2 runs. That's Sweeney had tweeted that out. That's crazy.
Yeah,
like they legitimately like are 1 or 2 runs away from having 6 losses. Like that's insane.
Yeah, there's a reason their run differential is like 60 runs better than the next highest team. They are beating up opponents, and when they lose, they're always in a game. It's been remarkable. And yeah, they lost this one run game in game two of this series, but they also have, what is it, the second best record in the league in one run games. I think the Padres might be first. But yeah, they're among the league leaders in one run games. They show they're able to win these close games, and they almost stole one on Tuesday night. So I don't know. Aside from the initial deflation of Judge's fly out, not getting over the wall when you thought it might have a chance, like, that was pretty much it for me. There was that, and like, oh man, like, I hope Cortez can bounce back. But other than that, I don't know how you watch that game and think, oh, like, this is what's going to doom us in the playoffs, or this is like a sign of things starting to come apart. I know there are some fans who are just wired to be negative, and if that's a product of recent years of early playoff exits, then I understand. But I think we're about 45% of the way through a season. That's enough of a sample size to realize that this is a different team than those years. And sure enough, they bounced back with a huge comeback win last night.
Yeah, I mean, last night you go into the game and they're down, you know, 3-0, and then they cut it to 3-1, and all of a sudden it becomes 4-1 again. And you're just, you know, I'm like, all right, whatever. They're playing in Tampa. They already won a game this series. And, you know, it's the fourth inning. We got plenty of time left, and we have Aaron Judge, and they don't. And sure enough, that comes up big later when he hit the ball about 900 feet in the air. But yeah, I mean, Judge hits two home runs to keep the Yankees kind of in the game, and get them close again. And the Rays defense, again, Choi can't pick a ball, and it leads to a run. It makes me appreciate Luke Voit.
I was about to say he would have dropped that too.
It makes me appreciate Rizzo more. And what I was going to say is I really, really like Luke Voit. I miss watching him play, but I don't miss watching him play first base. And I really appreciate having Rizzo over there, because we've seen first basemen have trouble with some of these balls throughout the year that the Yankees have taken advantage of. And that kind of helps them get, you know, within one run. And then all of a sudden you get to the eighth inning and, you know, Trevino hits the two-run homer with IKF going after a leadoff walk by IKF, which, you know, good on him for having the patience there. And was it a leadoff walk? I can't remember.
Yeah, but it was a leadoff walk.
But, I mean, good on them. And then Trevino, who has, I think I saw Katie Sharp tweet out, Trevino has 12 defensive runs saved. The next highest catcher has 8. And then he's also doing it with the bat